Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our not quite so regular Tuesday stream.
Yes, because believe it or not, and this is a true fact. Many yes. people have been in the aisle of this, but the world revolves around Jess. And yes. Jess is off on Mondays, so the streams happen on Tuesdays now.
The and you'll like it, figure.
Or you will lump it.
Yes.
I think, as far as things go, the weather report, it's crap. I was out in the back garden last
week. It was lovely earlier.
Getting a suntan.
Yes.
And now the heating's back up.
The heating is back on. And no, we're going to roast. We should probably turn that off. We're going to roast in this stream.
No, we'll be all right. I must also say that this is the chicken cast.
Yes, welcome to the chicken cast. We are really full of chicken.
Is Yez telling me not to tan?
Don't tan.
I need vitamin D. My bones.
We're white enough over here. We have a surplus of white.
My brittle bones.
But yes, we are indeed back.
Yes.
Hemlo. Hemlo, all you little people in my computer.
How do you fit in there?
We're going to be doing more of a, I don't want to say round-up stream, but we're going to be talking about the concept of the neutral position and as it stands with what we're being sold right now as neutral policy. We're actually having a bit of a change over here. There's a change over some of the political set dressing. And as the political set dressing changes, you start to see bits of the backstage through it, you know. Like you're watching a play. And you do. You see the little minions, the little guys
in
black.
You can see the sandbag. They're bringing the scene in.
The little guys in the black jumpers are coming out and they're moving the scenery around. The scenery is being moved politically and therefore it's a good opportunity to show you some of the behind-the-screen tricks with how what we sold and what we coined New Britain back in 2021 is now Neutral Britain.
Yeah, I mean, I must point out for those who are not aware in chat when I mentioned getting a tan, I am still Scottish at the end of the day. I'm not going to end up looking like raw egg nationalist. Let's put it that way.
You're not going to look like you're minding the Libyan ports, are you?
But
Turkish marriage scammer.
As always, nothing's happening.
Nothing is happening.
Nothing's changing.
Well,
except everything's changing.
Yes.
And this changes everything.
But don't worry.
But nothing's happened.
But nothing's happening. Whilst everyone's been distracted by two-tier justice rows and Rupert
Tariff.
Tariffs.
J.D. Vance did this and fuck you, Europe.
Ooh, take that, Europe. Ooh, the sock puppets are fighting. While this is going on, what is happening is what we always talk about, which is the march of the neutral agenda. The
managerialism must reinstate its position.
Yes. To quote the Neil Young album, rust never sleeps and neither does decline via managerialism. So remember, guys, decline never sleeps. But we're introduced here by an interlinking web of announcements today. You have here the Tony Blair Institute putting its name to really a report in the Times. It's not a Tony Blair Institute report in the Times, but it is.
Yes.
You have all this open coordination going on with things that are not supposed to be related to each other, but are also obviously related to each other. And if you point it out, they just go, well, of course it's all related. But you have the Times, you have the Tony Blair Institute, and you have, as we'll come to later, the UK government, all coming out in this perfect unison. We are having a media blitz today, which is telling us that effectively digital ID has already happened. This is already policy. It's already accepted. There's already a panel of experts. But you can read this a little bit out.
On the Times. Crime and Justice Commission's final report calls for technology to be at the heart of reforms to the criminal justice system. So wait. Just for clarification, this is the Times,
yes,
pretending they are independent,
yes,
and putting out a report by their own Crime and Justice Commission that just happens to be in alignment with what the Tony Blair Institute has been arguing for over 5 years.
Longer than that, and what Tony Blair has been arguing for...
Decades.
Decades, yes.
TBI's executive chairman, Sir Anthony Linton Charles, Sir Anthony Charles Linton Blair, yeah, agrees digital IDs and live facial recognition can help to secure our borders, protect public services, and deliver a faster and fairer justice system. Do you want to just play the little clip here? It's another 20 seconds.
Yeah, we can do. Yeah.
We cannot continue.
We cannot continue with business as usual. And change is inevitable. This is where technology, like digital ID, becomes critical. My institute's own analysis shows that introducing this in the UK would save at least $2 billion a year, and likely more, by reducing losses to fraud, improving tax collection, and better targeting of state support.
I mean, could it be any more perfect problem, reaction, solution? We created this giant, unworkable managerial state during his own reign.
Yes.
Brought in and set the precedent for bringing in all these people that were incompatible with our way of life, giving them all free money and free houses and free cars. And now it's okay because Tony Blair's got the solutions.
Well,
he's going to fix it, guys.
All of this is being done, again, whilst no one's listening, whilst no one is watching. This is the neutral conversation. These are the normal workings of governance as the headlines tick by. It's interesting, well, it's inevitable, really, that it's been sold in a non-woke frame, and it's being sold in a law and order, look at this, secure the borders, protect public services, faster, fairer justice. They are marketing this from effectively a Clinton crime bill footing.
But
this is digital ID to fight the super predators.
But it's going to save the taxpayer money, and it's going to mean
efficiency. Doge.
It's going to mean that you only have one possible sort of government gateway for all your different services to access, and it's really helping you, the individual. It's totally not about reforming the managerial machine so that it operates in a more efficient manner.
Again, we're going to have some more laughing at the Overton window, as we always do. This is why we laugh at the idea of the Overton
window.
Excuse
me, I take the idea of the Overton window deeply seriously. But almost as serious and as deep as my love for the nation of Israel.
Oh, I'm afraid I don't have that affirmation to hand.
No!
But you tell you what, I can... You diddle around the background, I'll go get it.
Diddle.
No, it's just the Trump one.
No, but I suppose this is a slightly looser together stream than we would normally do, but it's just sort of like, I think we've basically... We've set our line in the sand. It should be there.
Nope. Never posted it. Anyway, keep going.
I did post it. I actually have a look instead of scrolling at a million miles an hour because it's for the other day.
Nope, it's not there. Keep going.
It's still there. Anyway, we've got a slightly looser stream, I suppose, because there's really nothing to say. I think once you've reverse-engineered the sort of permanent agenda, there's not really much else to add on top of that.
Oh, well, there is. The thing is, there's a lot of description to add there, I think. There's a lot of flavour here. There's a lot of worked examples. And the what you must understand is we laugh at the Overton window because... It's not the framing that is important, as the Overton window emphasises. It is what is being pushed. We've had a quote-unquote shift in the Overton window to a more quote-unquote right-wing or neutral or centrist position. And so the justification for digital ID changes, but the fact we're getting digital ID doesn't change.
Mm.
And that is the fundamental point here. The fundamental point is that the window dressing changes, but the actual things themselves do not.
The greatest allies, they never change.
That's a lot. Congratulations, by the way. That's pretty good. But we give Israel billions of dollars a year.
I'll play that again.
That's what it's mean, Dog Brother. You know, we give Israel $4 billion a year. That's a lot. Congratulations, by the way. That's pretty good. But we give Israel billions of dollars a year.
There we go. Just some. I wanted to make sure we had some unobstructed affirmations there.
Billions.
Congratulations.
Billions. Congrats, BB.
Are you tired?
Pick up.
Are you tired of winning yet?
No, I'm not tired of winning because just when you thought it couldn't shift any faster.
Yes.
It's moving.
Oh, no. Not only the Overton window shifting. We've also got the pendulum swinging by.
Oh,
the pendulum swinging. Oh, we'll talk about that later. But a perfect worked example of this and I know people will re at us over this, so it's funny, is like the shunting, the team balancing, as I always refer to it, of the turfs onto the right. Teams have been balanced. You are on Team Blue.
Well, it's almost the crux of all of the stuff that we have been talking about and around for years. We are now the party of equality. We are the side of treating people as equals.
Because the leftists... I can fake LinkedIn account, too.
Yeah, because the leftists, they discriminate because they're the real racists.
Yes.
So therefore, everyone that's involved in some form of neutral civil rights activism of any way, shape or form is obviously going to be lumped with us idiots because we've got no ability to gatekeep, do we?
People getting trauma from LinkedIn. I don't have a real LinkedIn. I will never have a real LinkedIn. LinkedIn is how people scrape all your information. It's how you can figure out things are thrown out about certain people. Anyway, is Maya Forrester, darling of Policy Exchange and the anti-woke centre, in quotes. And this is from 5 months ago, and she's talking, this is how the gender wars get solved. Digital identity tools give everyone reliable ways to confirm people are who they say they are. They are designed to be accurate, secure, and preserve people's privacy. Here's what she's linking, which is a Sex Matters piece. Digital ID can't be gender self-ID.
See, I think this is hilarious.
The debate. This is the debate over the therapeutic state. Excuse me, my digital ID must be TERF compatible.
But it's funny because at first, when they connected the dot with these two, they made it go as a, oh, well, it's going to do this. But then in saying that, they kind of like revealed their hand. So now they're playing the game of, no, we've got to lobby to make sure it doesn't do this.
So yeah, this is who is on your team. If you're being, ha-ha, we owned you, Troon. It says, well, yeah, they're, you're being sold digital ID to own the Troons, and you think that being anti-woke does anything. What, like, again, it's like, how do you not get, look at this. Look at this shit. Look at who you have been put in the big tent with. You are in the big tent with Maya Forrester and Douglas Murray. Congratulations, your meme politics are now the neutral position and it makes no difference. Enjoy your 15 different vectors for selling the exact same policy tailored to your personal ideological bent. You slop consuming idiot. Anyway,
well, let's click.
Shall we?
Yeah. What's the problem? As the Sullivan Review has shown, many public bodies, including the Home Office, the NHS, and the police, have replaced accurate data on sex with self-declared gender identity. The government is now passing a data bill that will create a new system to allow people to prove their identity and facts about themselves using apps and online services with a government trust
mark. We've talked about this before. If you want to look past in our back catalogue, look at all of our stuff about security state and the attribute framework. It's a lumbering thing that's taken them ages to complete, but the attributes framework is where this comes from. We might just do like a mega meta stream at some point where we talk about all of the stuff that we've kind of predicted, where it stands, and you know when we first talked about it versus when it actually breached the headlines probably. Yeah. but keep going.
Unless the data problem is solved, the government will be putting a false and unreliable proof of sex in everyone's pocket. Excuse me, my women card must be valid.
I was gonna say, yeah, this, it's digital ID is sold to TERFs as a way to get a literal woman card.
But the thing with this is I think they've been told to basically like wind their neck in, because I could swear Maya Forrester, or however you pronounce it, herself was on Twitter like well over a year ago making these points about how, well, digital ID, if it does come in, will allow us to do this and keep women's spaces and whatever else. Fair enough. However, I know for a fact that as soon as you've changed your legal title from Mr. to Ms., you aren't allowed to put male sex on your identity documents anymore. Because
no.
Any form you fill out that has miss and male as sex on it goes, no, that can't be right. So I'm not going to sit here and pontificate about what the solution should be. However, I will suggest the fact that there ain't going to be one.
It's just another way to sell policy. Like I said, show me the policy and I'll show you 15 different ways to sell it to 15 different groups of people. That is the utility, though, in the post-woke frame, in that none of this stuff looks as silly, in quotes, when it is unwoke Jack did. But this is the furthest extreme, which is them going, actually, this is anti-woke. Digital ID is anti-woke.
This is Tory-funded policy.
Yes.
As far as I'm aware, Maya, whatever, was and is in some regards doing things through policy exchange, and this is part of where Sex Matters does its reports for.
Yes.
So
it's all the same structure again.
Tory policy justifying Labour policy.
Yeah. But from a turf angle, well, the actual commission, this is what I noticed. These were the first rumblings of it. This has been a media blitz over the course of about, 48 hours, I'd say. April 14th, 15th, and today, you have seen all of this break from everywhere, including reactions to it.
Mm.
But the report wasn't available at this time. I looked.
But why do you need to look at this? I need to talk about adolescence.
Well, this is, again, this is Rachel Sylvester, the Times Crime and Justice Commission, and we'll talk about the fact that a newspaper has apparently a government-blessed crime and justice commission that is involved with the Tony Blair. Again, distillation of everything we've talked about. But yeah, the Crime and Justice Commission publishes its final report today. Here is our 10-point plan to transform a broken system. I'll get this in a new book.
Yeah. Number one, introduce a universal digital ID system to drive down fraud, tackle illegal immigration, and reduce identity theft.
What is, again, 10-point plan for crime and justice. First point, digital ID. Bam.
Reduce identity theft. I wish anyone who hasn't, go and look at our stream, Crime in a Cashless Society.
That's one of our better ones.
Yes, yeah. And you can see our speculations on whether or not that would work.
Target persistent offenders and crime hotspots using data. What?
What's geotagging, biometrics? It's taking the stuff from one, yeah, and what we're going to be talking about in three,
yeah,
and connecting them in a bigger network so that basically,
yeah,
Ofcom...
What's big data? So we've got digital ID, we've got big data, and now we've got live face recognition, number three. Mm. So that's the top three. Crime and Justice Commission... The three are, expand the security state.
We might as well go through the rest of these as well, because I think there is something to talk about with these. I think four is quite interesting.
That's going to be to shuffle out the last of the legacy police officers. This feels like a blank check to shuffle anyone out that can be shuffled.
I dare suggest, though?
Yeah.
As in the way that the RCN is used with the Royal College of Nurses,
yeah,
and you have to get your licence and whatever else.
Yeah.
I could see this as being the procedural way to get rid of certain bad eggs in terms of diversity cases.
Oh yes, as well, but it is also a great way to get rid of certain bad eggs in terms of people who resist changes in policy.
Yes. Number five, set up victim care hubs.
Oh.
So that's therapeutizing.
Yeah.
Backed by a unified digital case file to create a seamless source of information and advice. You weren't targeted because you're white and vulnerable. Black people just don't know better. Introduce a new intermediate court with a judge and two magistrates to speed up justice and reduce court
delays.
Basically,
that's a formalisation of the summer riots emergency courts where we will be given what used to require a jury will now be a judge summary judgment. And that was one of the things that some of the legal people during the lockdowns were very, 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 very concerned about was the death of trial by jury in Scotland.
Yes.
Scotland had no trial by jury.
They attempted to suspend it.
That's what this is. This is an attempt to suspend, and we'll get onto this because they push even harder with it. This is an attempt to suspend trial by jury.
And you know what? I bet you they would also justify this by the fact that it's the COVID backlog.
Yeah. Common sense approach. This is basically to try and head off the whole two-tier thing, which did black their eye a bit.
Mm.
A lot of people went, yeah, wait a minute. This doesn't, you know, this doesn't work. This is clearly not a fair justice. And oh, no, it's fair. It's neutral. It's neutral.
To be
this
fair.
This is an exercise in neutral jacketing, though. Look at the mix of things here. Look at what they're pork barreling together.
Well, that is the other part of this, of course, is that when everyone ran around screaming, oh, it's two-tier policing, then the obvious retort is to go, well, of course, what you were after is equality then, aren't you?
We'll show you the manoeuvre, because what was sold to us was red meat, evil Labour, two-tier justice, and what this is being sold was as is the neutral position and the liberal compromise.
Yeah.
And we'll see this over and over. It's telegraphed almost, again, we talk, it's cartoonishly telegraphed that this is the liberal compromise.
Give more autonomy and accountability to prison governors with a greater focus on rehabilitation and create a college of prison and probation officers. that will be in line with the New Britain reforms.
Yes.
So that prison authorities are further decentralised, so that they can be more responsive to the specific multicultural fracas they have in their prisons.
Which, how can you give both autonomy and accountability? There's just a lot of extremely liberal report waffle here. Restrict social media for under 16s to protect children from criminals. This is the formalisation of the online safety bill.
And that demands number one.
Yes, 9 demands one. Raise the minimum age of criminal responsibility to 14 to take account of new developments. And basically they're saying...
We can't lock up black 13-year-olds anymore.
There's black 13, there's like thousands of like black and wherever, you know, countryside, Indian, Iraqi, like teenage murderers. They're trying to sort out a problem, which is feral third world people who are murdery by the time they get to 12 and 13.
Well, it's also also in a way a sort of therapeutic angle. If you shuffle these people off to some form of secure unit for mental health, it doesn't get reported.
Well, they also argue that anyone who is a criminal who has an IQ under 60 has the mind of a 13-year-old and therefore isn't criminally responsible. This is a move to make it so that sub-60s aren't criminally responsible.
Yep.
Really. Because that will be the comparison there. Well, do they have the mental factors of a 14-year-old? Well, a white 14-year-old, no. So, can't put them in prison. They don't have criminal responsibility.
Uh-oh.
Again, Times, Crime and Justice Commission. It's such perfect public-private partnership, therapeutic state quango waffle. Mm. It is a completely imagined quango. These people have no authority. They have come from nowhere. This is the Times pretending they are the government.
Who are some of these commissioners? Rachel Sylvester, Lord Burnett,
Peter Clark, former head of counterterrorism. It's just like Labour MPs and Labour appointees.
Black trauma surgeon.
Yeah.
Chief Inspector of Prisons, head of parole board.
Former head of MI5.
Sandra Paul, partner in criminal litigation. Yeah, partner in crime.
basically, she's one of those pet lawyers they use to get off foreign nonces and let them stay in the UK.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, she's a partner in crime.
Yeah.
Former director of public persecutions, director of the Institute for Fiscal Studies. Executive Chair of the Centre for Young Lives and former
Max Hill, former director of preventing nonces going to prison, leader of the bar, dirty bastards, Natasha Porter, unlocked graduates, teach first for prison, oh god, therapeutising prison officers, former High Court. So this is just Labour putting together the Tony Blair Institute putting together a pseudo-government commission with empty suits.
How many of these people...
Who simply just repeat what the Tony Blair Institute has been putting out since 2020.
We don't have the time to go through this, because this is part of the problem with some of this stuff, is if we went into detail about every element of everything we talked about...
All of them. Yeah, no, they are...
There would be so much of this that we couldn't...
They are all tangentially or directly Tony Blair Institute alums. All of them.
I was actually going to say, how many of these people served under Blair's government directly in the 2000s?
A lot of them are Cameron government people as well. No, it's both. It's a great indicator that this is the... Well, a lot of people who worked in the Cameron government went on to be part of the Tony Blair Institute. I mean, was it Ian Duncan Smith and who's the other one?
Oh, well, William Hague.
William Hague as well, yeah. They've both done it. This is just, again, it's the same empty suits, it's the same empty chairs, the same cogs repeating what is told to us via a different frame, given to us and sold to us as an independent commission set up by the Times newspaper, but also endorsed by the Tony Blair Institute, but not directly written by it, but also directly written by it.
But the thing is, we've not even got into a point here where we're actually talking about Labour cabinet ministers or Keir Starmer. There is like four levels of abstraction here to get to the root of where policy is coming from.
This is also just the way they give welfare to the over-manufactured elites. This is also just a giant money pit. Here's the report itself. It is in a mess of a format.
God, is this in like their own little file reader thing?
Yeah, and it's awful because the actual thing itself isn't very high res. Look at it. It's fucking shit and blurry.
And you know why it's like that?
Because no one
is going to read it.
Well, no one's supposed to read it. We can actually search it, though. If you put Blair... It's not the longest document. If you put Blair into this, the word Blair comes up 13 times. He is quoted as...
Oh, let's go to page 31 here. Let's get a bit of that.
It's unreadable.
Is it that bad? So Tony Blair insisted that a digital ID system would be a personal enabler that empowers the individual. Well,
he's quoted in this document repeatedly as, like, God.
Well, that's the same line Schwab was using, well, and the idea of digital sovereignty.
Well, it's just like Sir Tony Blair. They don't even try and justify. They just quote him like, well, Sir Tony Blair said. They're breathless about it. It's quite interesting. Yeah.
Blair said the public mood had changed since he tried to introduce physical ID cards back in 2006, a plan that was later shelved by the coalition government following a backlash from civil liberties campaigners.
Thank you for the $10 amount of guide. Thank you for the two sets of £2 there, Tony, current year. The neutral position of politics... is I get given £1 million.
Yeah, but we get a billion.
Make it, but for a whole... faking it till you make it, but for a whole quango. Yes, exactly. That is exactly what's going on here. But I'll skip to it now so I can show you. What they're using here is a graph. Slow. Look at this. Look at this.
What's Bear Grylls got to do with this?
It's a jungle out there. Case study. What? I don't know. I don't know. Oh, God. If you zoom, it changes the... Ah! I hate this so much. This is awful. I'm just trying to get... You see that graph there they've got in the bottom?
Yeah.
That is from here.
That's the more than half of Britain support the introduction of such and such.
Actually, no. Where is that going?
It's your live facial recognition one, I think, isn't it?
No, that's not that one at all. God damn it. Well, that report is from another Times report. God damn it. I've lost my page here. That statistic is from another Tony Blair Institute report.
You closed the tab with the report on it anyway, I think.
I did, yes. But there's not really much else for me to look at that. And cool. Also, it just... it's offensive in format. But that graph... God, that fucking little graph there.
Oh, that's a digital identity card, sorry.
Yes, basically, Tony Blair said that people support digital identity cards. People support it. And he's quoted quoting his own research in that report, which this is Tony Blair research here, saying that the majority of people support it, which was quoted in, well, the Times newspaper. So it's all circular sourcing, which is quite... It's all very easily identifiable circular sourcing. And this is very obviously just a Tony Blair Institute report. But that is being information laundered by the Times newspaper.
I'll tell you one thing that's very un-Tony Blair-like about this.
What?
The fact that it's unreadable.
The Times has kind of fucked this up. God.
I'm sure you can probably do something with it and turn it into a flat PDF.
Let me try searching Blair again. I'll try and get the statistic up here because it's quite a useful one. But
part of me just thinks the fact that just like the actual flat quality of them is just nowhere near good enough to read.
I think that's part of it too. A lot of this stuff is just awful. We came across a Tony Blair Institute document I remember previously that had really obviously bad AI generated art in it.
Yeah,
as part of it, it was really, really, really shit.
But as you've got in a couple of links here after the full report, there's basically just a bit of a kind of media blitz about all this.
A lot of this is a restating of stuff. All this was said in about 2021 when people weren't listening. It's now being said a lot more forcefully here. April 13th, they have their own Crime and Justice Commission section on their website. Courts without juries could bring swift to justice. Five former Lord Chancellors and two former Lord Chief Justices have backed a call for some cases to be fast-tracked to slash the crippling... Basically, they broke the legal system. They have utterly destroyed the legal system. It could take 7 years for certain things to go to Crown Court. 7 years for certain things to go to Crown Court. And now they're saying that the solution to it is to have summary judgments by judges and to effectively eliminate trial by jury apart from in... Well, murder cases.
And these will be the courts that will, in some regard, maybe not this specifically, but in general, as you're talking about there, that will also have oversight of whatever grooming gang inquiries ensued upon.
There are more than 73,000 cases in Crown Court backlog. It also allows a judge to summarily dismiss the New Britons.
Yes.
Some defendants would lose the right to trial by jury. I mean, that's... To a jury trial. That's the long and short of it. That hundreds of years of English legal tradition will be thrown out of the window because Tony Blair said that we need to solve the case backlog that is caused by the fact that we have a lot of violent foreign people and we don't have the court facilities for the possibly 100 million people in this country. And that means that you lose the right to trial by jury.
It turns out when you write something in the order of 8 to 9 laws every day, you end up with so many laws and so many crimes and so many people that must be processed that you then have to get rid of certain elements
again,
of the process.
Look at how this is being sold. It's not being sold as woke. It's not being sold on racial terms. It's being sold as a neutral solution to a practical problem.
It's just raw managerialism.
Yeah. Live, again, April 15th. Live fearful recognition would enhance UK justice, says Tony Blair.
I mean, I don't know.
Crime and Justice Commission.
Out of curiosity, is there a mention of Southport in here?
I'm not sure, actually.
No,
there isn't. There is not a mention of Southport in here. In fact, there's no mention of current events apart from, you know, a few scattered little bits at all. There's allusions to them, but this was obviously written years ago and is a reframing of stuff that we've read on the Tony Blair Institute previously. But this is what they do. They just come out every 6 months to a year and restate the same points again with a different framing, but now with more and more backing. They have this, like I said, it's incredible. Incredible that they have been able to have their own quote-unquote Crime and Justice Commission as a newspaper and have it be participated in like it's a government commission. Again, it's the man himself. It's very clear that this is just the whim of Tony Blair, but it is framed as the efforts and consensus of the experts. This is how consensus is manufactured. We're seeing it in real time.
Well, it's consensus. The consensus is that Tony Blair is right.
Well, it's explicit. Yes, the consensus is that Tony Blair is right, yes. And here we saw this just yesterday. Right away, the government comes out and says proposals by the Times Crime and Justice Commission could become law. Shabina Mahmood, the Justice Secretary, suggests that echoes of the year-long inquiry's recommendations could be included in sentencing and court reforms. And this is directly the response to the two-tier argument. This is something that's been in the works for... This is something that's been in the works for over a year, and yet it's being framed as a response to the two-tier route.
New laws could include echoes of recommendations made by the Times Crime and Justice Commission, the Justice Secretary said. Shabana Mahmood, who's also the Lord Chancellor, would not be surprised to see similarities between the Commission's proposals and policy announcements expected later this year, she said.
Again, priming.
Mahmood added that the Commission draws much-needed focus to challenges in the justice system, such as record and rising court backlogs, prisons dangerously close to running out of space, and an overstretched probation service. Last year, I commissioned David Gook, former Tory Justice Secretary, to propose reforms to sentencing policy, and Sir Brian Leveson, the retired judge, to consider once-in-a-generation reform of our courts.
Oof.
Both are due to report in the months to come, and I know they'll be closely considering the ideas in the Commission's report.
This is very like basic one-hand-washes-the-other-hand stuff, but it's a really neat demonstration that the NGOs, the papers, and the government are just the same entity.
Yes.
They are not singing from the same hymn sheet. They're writing the hymn sheet together. It's even closer than that.
Mahmood emphasised that the one thing the Commission and ministers can all agree on is that if we are to restore justice in this country, we cannot just do more of the same. Is that what Blair said?
Yes.
We have to change. Technology is changing. Digital ID is the solution. Gough's review is due to report next month, giving evidence to the Times Commission in January. He said, as a country, we are going to have to ask ourselves questions about the purpose of our sentencing policy. I certainly recognise that punishment is an important part of sentencing, but it's not the only part. And I think we do have to ask ourselves, what is the most effective way in which we can reduce crime? At a period of time when resources are clearly going to be very limited, there may be more effective ways in reducing crime than adding additional months or years to prison sentences that will have very little benefit on that front. I mean, they're talking about actually using preventative measures for crime. And they've got to do it in a way that isn't too red meat.
Yeah.
So it's not too rah-rah.
Yeah.
Other than the stuff about immigration and the more specific client sort of selling of that. But at the same time, they've got to couch it in lies by omission by saying that, well, we are going to do preventative criminal measures without calling them that. Because if you've got a digital ID system that has people's passport status, visa status, name, and possibly other biological markers on it, you have created a racial crime database.
Yes. Yes, you
have. So, given what I think will actually be a massive part of this, will be the back-end discussion for who gets to see that and how do we double-blind blockchain BS obfuscate large tranches of this data so that it's not as publicly accessible to turn and go, oh, look, 95% of crime in Britain is caused by brown people.
Well, that's why they stopped reporting crime figures in general. That's why the National Crime Survey is reported and not actual crime figures, which I've had Americans quoting at me endlessly. It's a survey, you mutt retard. Anyway. But what we've also had, which is extraordinary, is the College of Policing come out within a day and have a pre-made response to a commissioned by the Times newspaper as if it was an official. This is part of the perception manufacturing. Mm. The College of Policing has come out and responded to this like they needed to, like it had legal weight. Because effectively, as an operation run by the TBI, hand in hand with the government and the press and the voluntary sector, in quotes, charities and commissions and colleges and neutral public bodies. The College of Policing is a great example of something that's supposed to be a neutral public body. And here we have a neutral public body adding weight to the idea that the Crime and Justice, you know, commission and summit by the Times newspaper is in some way sovereign over the British crime policy.
But do you know what they're doing?
Yes.
What they're doing is they're talking about it and making it real. And I think that's fundamentally one of the points that we want to make in regards to this stuff. We're not going to sit here and go, digital ID is going to be tyranny. Because we all know this, don't we? This is why we're all here. Because we all think we're going to fight this. But at the end of the day, you can't, can you? How long? You know, since COVID, people have lamented that big data systems and digital ID and digital currency, and it's going to be terrible. Yeah, it will be terrible, but they're just going to do it anyway. Because in some fundamental sort of aspect, people from our side of things have done nothing but inflame and discuss the issues that digital ID is going to solve.
Yeah.
And you've sat there for years going, who's going to fix this? Who's going to fix it? And Tony Blair's come out from the woodwork and gone, I'm going to fix this.
Well, here we have the commission's recommendations. And then, and then we have the technological advancement section. Addressing the audience, Sir Andy, the head of the policing commission, welcomed the commission's recommendations and called for police leaders to be quicker and braver about the rapid development of technology. Again, it's establishment agreed with establishment and found that establishment points were excellent. There are a number of barriers to getting the best out of technology and placing it in the hands of our officers and staff. One of those barriers is the fragmented nature of policing in the 43-force model. This is also something we've seen in that the counterterrorism police has been effectively subsumed by MI5, and there may be in the works what would be a national police force, a unified UK police force that would be faceless, inaccessible, monolithic, and completely at the behest of central government. Anyway, at Hampshire, I became the first chief in England and Wales to roll out personal body-worn video. I very quickly realised unless there was a transformation of skills and very open mindset about how this tech could be used to benefit the public, you are simply going to drop a very expensive trinket on officers to wear. The big lesson is unless your leaders give your workforce the insight, the skills and the aptitude to use technology, you are just going to spend a lot of money. So what he's talking about really is the fact that not only do we need digital ID, we need the police to be trained to become a digital ID shaped peg in a digital panopticon hole, in that we are going to have more big data policing, as we've seen, that policing is going to become about controlling the perception of crime rather than investigating crime. It'll be about controlling people who highlight crime rather than addressing crime, as we saw in the Tony Blair era and the era of targets and the visible violence we saw on the streets and the visible degradation of Britain compared to statistics that were telling us that everything was in fact getting better. It's just the graph again. It's just the big graph. Oh, man. It's the, there it is. The good line, the bad line. This is what we are shown constantly about crime, digital ID, different things that are supposed to solve these problems. But it really is just the line that hurts you and the line that hurts me that are in opposition to each other. It's really solving a problem of their own creation as well. We see here that, well, the claims of two-tier policing, and this is another big part of it, is that I won't go over it again. I won't relitigate the whole point about two-tier justice and sentencing guidelines. Here it is. Sentencing guidelines suspended plans for new guidance with two-tier justice route. What Mahmood, who we were just talking about welcoming these recommendations, did was, in getting rid of the two-tier recommendations, in quotes, in slapping down a pre-made sentencing council slam dunk to create a red meat narrative for Labour, they have then investigated themselves, found themselves innocent, and they are now saying that these proposals, the proposals that we're seeing here, the proposals from the Times newspaper, will be the compromise position. But that's where we've gone. We've allowed Labour narratively, through the grooming gang's spurg out, to have an easy win and to reframe British justice as neutral and normal and in danger of becoming two-tier with wokery, but not two-tier currently. And that is the frame that all of this exists within. And again, that's why you see this talk about them becoming law, because we have decided to have open racial sentencing. Oh, no, wait, no, we haven't. We've decided the compromise between neutral justice, in quotes, and open use of racial sentencing is digital ID for some reason. It is live facial recognition. We try to turn it into an explicitly, rather than just functionally, even though it is explicitly already, or even more explicitly, two-tier justice system. And the compromise is that, oh, by the way, digital ID is still coming, as it has been for the past decade. And this is how the consensus is manufactured. This is how the political cycle works. This is how the liberal conversation, the marketplace of ideas, functions. And I'm just, I get so, we do make fun of all these, and yeah, we've put the woke stall away, so the marketplace of ideas only has, for the sensible centre, in quotes, if you're not a leftist, not the sensible centre in the AA sense, the sensible centre in the neutral frame sense, the only allowable market stall is this one now. The neutral MLK Netanyahu MAGA-ism has won. It has won in the marketplace of ideas. The horseshoe has got a new neutral position. Although the way all this interacts, again, and the pendulum swing we make fun of too, there's so much of this. But as we talk about repeatedly, what is considered neutral and normal is the most important thing to control. Here's a bit from, I think this is from like a Republican, like AEI, terrible neocon think tank slideshow. But the pendulum swing is something I see talked about so much in online politics. Oh, we're swinging back towards a conservative direction. But people aren't clever enough to understand that the definition of where the neutral point of what is the implied, natural, normal, perfect politics, the definition of the center point of the pendulum swing, is where political reality lays. What you're doing is you're surrendering to a confidence trick here. You're agreeing that things need to move either side of this position that you're not thinking about. You're thinking about the progressive and the conservative. You're not thinking about who has defined the neutral position for you. Again, that's the same with horseshoe theory. You add in people's protagonist syndrome because they believe that their beliefs are special, that they have come to their beliefs themselves. That they have not simply placed themselves within the acceptable ideological frame given from above, and that their beliefs are the neutral beliefs, and that they are in complete fusion with their environment. There's a huge amount of social pressure there too. You end up with a lot of social pressure to conform. People get FOMO when they sense where the neutral position is and where it's shifting. So the center point of the horseshoe is also, it's the same thing as the center point of the pendulum swing. People don't think about its definition. Who decides where the center point is? Who decides what neutral normality is?
Whose compromise is it anyway?
Yes, and that's what this is. That's what all of this, this process, the fake sentencing guidelines that were made to be shot down, that's very obvious. All of this is in pursuit of this, which is really the framework we're seeing on the right, and I believe that we'll be sold our little piece of digital ID, which is white civil rights.
Yep.
The extreme edge of this, and the edge of this we will see, and here, this is actually Lawrence Fox doing justification for Tony Blair Institute policy. On the outer edge, he is supporting the same framework by supporting the framework of quote-unquote white civil rights, because it's a re-buy-in.
We need our seat at the multiracial table.
If we can use digital ID as a tool to bring down immigration, we can use civil rights as a tool to, you know, have the white table at the multiracial conversation, completely discounting the fact that we are the inhabitants of this land, and this is our country, and we were born here. But...
those things don't factor into managerialism.
We don't have, you know, the rights, the common law rights. We no longer have English common law rights. We have civil rights. And we must buy into this as a people. We must have white civil rights is needed in Britain. Not British civil rights. White civil rights.
All I'm saying is I think we need common sense politics. And that we should consider putting tariffs on the marketplace of ideas.
Yes, I believe that I don't want to see stalls. Can we put like a 900% tariff on stalls in the marketplace of ideas like this, please?
Yes, please do. any James Lindsay book should be purchased only on pain of death.
Yes. Well, not to be too smug, but we predicted this, and you re-highlighted an article, well, a piece you wrote for the Anti-Politics Substack, which is a great way to support us, by the way, link in the description.
Yes.
And do donate via the Ko-Fi and all that. I do believe I
don't
did.
Know. I don't think you linked it in the chat. Oh, no, you did link it.
I did link
it
in the chat. It's the pinned message in the chat, so the best way is still the Ko-Fi and all that. But in April 2022, so more than 3 years ago now,
yep.
You wrote a piece called Why Settle for Less about Ron DeSantis. Tell you what, do you just want to read that? This, remember, this was written in the 7th of April 2022. This is written 3 years ago. This is like you looking into the camera anyway.
Anti-wokeism will become all the more dangerous as it takes up a greater presence in the political foray. And one can see why it would. Why bother with new monetary policy solutions or the immigration scourge when instead you can repeat anti-woke talking points ad nauseum to the raucous applause of the distracted masses? Bringeth us slop.
Yes.
At the same time, a great opportunity is granted to any emerging elites who wish to tap into this rhetoric for their own ends. I'm sure the various factions of the anti-woke political base will eat up technocratic schemes. Biometric scans to keep trannies out of public bathrooms.
We've seen that. Maya Forrester made that joke a reality.
And no digital ID, no dome. Ought to sort out those pesky migrants. At one point, there was an almost perfect overlap of anti-woke voices and those who took up the position of vaccine nationalism. Anyone remember that?
Yeah.
Furthermore, anyone keeping an eye on Tony Blair will have seen his newfound tact of bashing the current Labour Party with the label of woke.
Yep.
His association with technocrats and globalists far and wide,
yes.
Who we know have no ties or loyalty to ideas and values beside their own, begs a number of questions. When we are more often than not given a portrayal of the left in media as its most absurd and woke forms, the right, in contrast, should have a relatively positive public image. But it doesn't. There are a whole host of reasons for this, too many for just this piece. However, one that is glaringly obvious is that the right is either completely hopeless or willingly self-sabotaging. Very likely a mix of the two. So when the agitation reaches its peak and the calls come en masse for wokeism to be dealt with for good, if the right has only a pithy answer, we may find that the likes of Blair swoop in to take on the call. Based Blair, they'll cry in adulation from the rooftops as they sign themselves off to the technocratic endgame. All while the right's role in society becomes further superseded. How do we stop this? We don't settle for less.
And here we are. Here we are. Here we are. Here we are. I will gesture at reality again. We have described reality before it has happened multiple times. This was written years ago and it is bearing fruit now. But it's not hard because we've read the script, because they've been telegraphing this for years.
Yes.
And people have bitched and moaned and struggled and shilled for things like the GOP, but and become extremely mad at us for pointing these things out. But you can't fight reality. You owe a debt to it. And it's very obvious that we live in political reality. We are able to make these calls because it is bleedingly obvious what is happening, and the framing around it doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't. You can put woke away in quotes because it's a framing. We live in a world where digital ID is justified by owning the truth. You have lost. It's gone. Your online meme politics has turned to dust, and now it's just Tony Blair sat there laughing at you.
And this is what we've got, vision of confrontation there. Old timey watcher, I believe. We have no means to stop this realistically. Exactly. We have no means to stop this stuff. So why is it that everybody and anybody who wishes to be on the right and be seen to be doing something is willing to bloviate and blow hot air and make us pathetic little pittance for supporting all this stuff?
Yeah.
For laying the groundwork. For selling all these liberals and fucking neocons and all these different people to us on the right, because we don't like Islam, or because we don't like the green stuff, or we don't like the Troons, or whatever your pet issue is. People have picked these things out, they have drawn lines in the sand over them, and because they've done that, we are fucked.
Well, yeah, you can't do anything about this because you aren't in power. Figure out ways to become more consequential. This is what we tell people. Really, we're just going to equip people to not get caught in a big trap. If your takeaway from this is to never look at online politics ever again,
good.
Well done. You've got out. But if you can't stop looking at it, if you can't stop involving yourself, I guess we're almost like online politics methadone at this point.
Yeah.
In that we will get you off the online politics. Because
come and get your Suboxone.
Yeah. Online politics isn't real.
No.
You are listening to a speaker. You are looking at a screen.
I mean, at least, at least heroin's real. At least the high you feel off it is a physical interaction between a chemical and other chemicals inside your body. When you're looking at this and it becomes your world and it becomes your frame of reference for any aspect of reality, you have become worse than a junkie, because at least the junkie's heroin is real.
I'm at my limit sometimes with people, because we are repeating ourselves, but we have to.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will still turn around and say, you're just saying this because of what you and who you are. It's just that, well, you failed the IQ test. Congratulations. You can be herded around by the nose. Like, go out and get your digital ID. Like, actually go and be, like, a little quizzling.
Well, yeah, no, but
don't bother us anymore.
And it's the thing people say is, you think everything's containment. Well, because when you're dealing in the world of hyper-reality and we're framing as king, and that any conversation can be filtered down.
Mass media and social media is all containment, yes.
And managed into a preset shape that allows it to be utilised by the people already in power, then yes, I'm afraid that's containment. Oh, we had a little blip. Are we still here?
No, we are still on stream. It's just the YouTube backend crashed, which is lovely of it. But cool. No, it didn't actually throw us off there. So.
Hopefully people were still able to hear us there then.
No, they will. It's not bleak.
It's a miracle.
This is the way that
you don't have to do this.
This is the way that things have always been. I need to finally write something about this. But this is the way that always you have always been subjected to power. The idea that you can do something is an illusion. Why would you think you can do something? Are you a lord? Are you someone of consequence? Do you hold a position of power? No. Well, you can't do anything. And that isn't hopelessness. That isn't blackpilled. That's reality. If the king was subjecting you to something in the old-timey world, we wouldn't turn around and go, oh, what can we do? Well, power's turned against you. I'm afraid you're fucked.
Yeah. And do you know what? I wouldn't berate a single person for turning around and going, well, these guys are in power and they're going to do what they do, so I'm going to make my life easier and comply. There is nothing wrong with that, because as a person existing in the mass, that is all that's asked of you.
It is not the job of the mass to rebel against power.
No.
People who think it is are... Well, they're not only stupid, I frankly think they're evil. They are blaming people for things that are not their fault. This is not the fault of the mass. The mass can never throw off power. It is how the division of labour works.
That is by nature the fact that it is the mass.
Yes.
But I think it's more this point that there are so many people out there who try and argue and engage in an element of rebellion, and really all they're doing is engaging in a hyper-abstract bit of factionalism, because ultimately it justifies a little bit of meaning in their life, and sometimes they get a couple of quid in their back pocket for it.
Yes.
And that's really it. I mean, we know enough people to know how a lot of this stuff works around us. We tried to get people off of Twitter. We tried to get people onto alternative platforms. Some people have, some people haven't. But fundamentally, building an organization outside of whatever's going on Twitter or YouTube isn't happening.
There is a permanent agenda at play behind the scenes. The framing doesn't shift it. The political winds do not shift it. That is a lesson. We need to have our own permanent agenda. We need to be talking about the same things, forcefully pushing them forward for decades.
Yes.
Tony Blair has succeeded because he is able to push something like digital ID cards, now digital ID, single-mindedly over a time horizon we think of as politically unimaginable. People can't even remember who Rupert Lowe is, and Tony Blair has been on this political project since 1996.
And he's not going to stop anytime soon.
Yeah. And he's and the light switch brain, slow cycle, face in the trough,
current thing
every 2 minutes doesn't change anything. And what we're trying to do here is effectively deprogramming. You have been talked into believing things that are not true. You cannot affect events. You are not the protagonist. You are not in charge.
No.
I'm sorry, but you can't do anything because it's not your fault.
No, and you don't have to take responsibility for it.
No, the horrible things are happening. They are not your fault. Unless you are doing them, then maybe you should stop. If you think horrible things are your fault, maybe you should stop doing horrible things. But if you're not somebody who actively is destroying Britain, then the destruction of Britain is not your fault. It is not your job to rise up.
Well, yeah, I might add here, because someone essentially asked me part of this question on Twitter yesterday. May sound like a dumb question, but if not red-pilling the normies or moving the Overton window, what do you suggest people do?
I suggest they survive.
Most of the people in the online right should seek to disengage from global politics as much as they can. Watch content if you must. Engage in patronage if you wish, for that is useful.
Yes,
but most importantly, create your political world or centre your political worldview to the locale around you. When it happens, you'll know.
Yes.
there won't be this talking on Twitter about did it happen? Didn't it happen? Is it happening? Is it not? That's not going to happen. When it happens, you will know. Anyway, if you want to know what is and isn't happening, and also in some ways you wish to support what we do here, you can be a member of the YouTube channel.
Yes.
You can choose to subscribe to the Substack, or you can donate to the Ko-Fi. I don't know if we've had any of those come through this stream or not. If you want to give that a quick check
No. And if I have missed any, because they can be a bit slow sometimes. Thank you for the donation, Shy Strike, as well. He gave his donation off air. Thank you very much. But apart from that, no, I think we're all up to date there. I will double check the YouTube. Don't worry, guys, if you've given us the super chats, we will read them all. But no, we've read all those. So thank you guys for coming. All I can say is don't get captured. And remember, never blackpilled, never late,
never again.